Okay. We'd like to thank Karen and Jacob Levis for sponsoring this morning's Lox and Learn. Le'ilo Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, their neshama should have an aliyah. Okay, we are beginning. I don't have any more. If there are any extra floating around, please share. So the Mishnah, we're just going to review the Mishnah itself. This is on your first page. The top of the page says good fences. It's the one-sided page. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, we started this last week. Rabbi Akiva says the following. Schok v'kalos rosh margilin the erva. Jesting and lightheadedness lead people to sin. Misora siyag l'torah, or misoras, excuse me, is a siyag l'torah, tradition. How the words are phrased that we have passed down throughout the generations of the Torah, that protects the Torah, it's a fence for the Torah. Masro siyag l'osher, giving tithes is a fence for wealth. Nidarim siyag l'prishos, vows are a fence against or to help protect self-restraint. Siyag l'chachma, she didn't get it. Siyag l'chachma shtika, offense is a wisdom to, offense of wisdom is silence. Okay, so we did a bunch of preparatory background setting it up for today. If you weren't here, you'll be fine. If you were here, you probably appreciate the shiur a little bit more. And if you weren't here, you can listen to it. It's all posted on YU Torah. But I'm not going to review everything we did last week. What we're going to start doing this week is jumping into the second page. The second page, where it says part two, Schok and Kalos Rosh. So last week we started with the Rambam. To briefly review outside what the Rambam said, the Rambam seemed to indicate that the concept of Schok and Kalos Rosh, this lightheadedness, this laughter, is not just a problem that it leads to sin, but it's a problem inherently in terms of character, that we shouldn't be somebody who is too lightheaded, who is too jesting all the time. He's making jokes and making light and making fun of everything. That is not a good character trait, personality-wise, to have. Not just how we might have read it, and we're going to read it as we go forward, that Schok and Kalos Rosh lead directly to sin. It's not a instrumental or functional problem, if you will, that Schok and Kalos Rosh leads to sin. Schok and Kalos Rosh, on their own, are inherently the wrong character. So what we're going to do now, starting with source number 5, is see a rundown of different interpretations that are similar to each other. So to some extent, it's going to be slightly redundant with some nuances. So let's try to pay attention, see if we can pick up on the differences, pick up on the nuances. But the main idea is to try to understand how is it that this lightheadedness, this laughter, this jesting ends up leading somebody to sin. What's the mechanism behind laughter and jesting leading to sin? So look at source number 5. Source number 5 is the Beis La'avos. I'm not exactly sure who it is. I saw it quoted and I found the primary source, but I don't have any real biographical information for you, but it's an interesting idea regardless. So look at source number 5. It's a little bit hard to read. It's Rashi script, but we'll get through it. So starting on the first line, the fifth word on the line after the period, he says, Al kol zeh tzarech lisrachek mehem k'motziyem es adam la'at la'at nasa ragil b'tanuge olam hazeh u'mevatlan es adam mitora v'avoda. So he says, number one, is that we're going to focus on the term margilin. What does it mean, margilin? So margilin means to slowly habituate to something. So one way that schok, that laughter and kalos rosh, lightheadedness, lead to sin is that it slowly gets our defenses down. It slowly leads us in the wrong direction. It's not going to hit us on the top of the head. We're not going to just all of a sudden start sinning the second we have schok v'kalos rosh, but it's margilin. It leads. It habituates us to the sin. Al zeh, third line, maybe Rabbi Akiva Raya shetzarech lehisrachek midvarim shemar'eh or shenir'eh la'adam shehema heter va'amnam hema Sil sulim umoshchim es adam la'avera. So he says that the whole content here that Rabbi Akiva is trying to get us to focus on are things that aren't inherently problematic. These are things that when we look at them at face value, we might be able to justify. We might be able to tell ourselves that, it's not such a big deal. There's no inherent isser involved. There's no prohibition. It's not inherently forbidden. And because of that, we slowly let our guards down. So Rabbi Akiva is identifying for us these spots or these sort of danger signs of things that aren't inherently problematic. But if we slowly start going in that direction, they will lead slippery slope down in the wrong direction. End of the fourth line. Valzeh mevi va'amar schok v'kalus rosh. And it is in this context that laughter and lightheadedness are presented. Shemitchila margil ha'adam es atzmo lios tamed besimcha kimo. So he says that people want to always be happy. That's my goal, my pursuit of happiness. I always want to be happy. Like, notice how he formulates this, kimo ba'avonosenu harabim, with great sin. We are violating, this is a problem. Nisrabu ke'es she'omrim she'tzarech adam lios besimcha. There are those crazy people out there who say that people should try to be happy. Mitt, right? He might be talking about that line. I'm not sure. He doesn't tell us who we're talking about. He's not talking about the comedians on TV, right? Notice, because look what he's about to say. This is very fascinating. He says, again, She'omrim she'tzarech adam lios besimcha v'tolin atzmam v'ilon gadol, and their proof as to why it's good to be besimcha is She'avram avinu alav ha'shalom ba'le madrega gedola rak al yedei simcha. So they bring a proof that Avram Avinu got to his godless through Simcha. Where does that sign in the Pasuk? But that's their tradition, that Avram Avinu got to his godless through Simcha. Therefore, we should always be besimcha. That's terrible, right? And I'm embellishing a little bit, but that seems to be what he's saying. Amnam, chashchu, so what's the problem with this? Chashchu einehem mir'os, ve'ein yodim she'ein lehem hasaga eza simcha, Tzarech Lomar, or Tzarech Lios. They got the wrong type of happiness. They're pursuing, and it's fascinating, because in Hebrew, it's the same thing in English. We use the word happiness for so many different things. So you say, I want to be happy. So what makes you happy? Well, you're going down the wrong path of what makes you happy in terms of what Judaism says to make you happy. So everybody says, Mitzvah Gedol Lios B'Simcha, it's great to be happy all the time. But you can't stop there. You have to know what makes you happy from a religious perspective. Kirak ba'avodaso yisbarach shemo velo beholulus asher ein yiras Hashem neged einav or panav. You need to have the proper type of happiness that's within a religious context, within serving God. It brings what we would call the Greek philosophers had this distinction between hedonism, right? So the happiness that comes through pleasures, eating, etc., for more of the physical pleasures, and what they called eudaimonia, which is the pleasure through living a life well lived. And that's what we would correlate with Torah. When we follow Torah and mitzvos, and you're happy because you feel good about yourself, and you feel good about serving God, and you feel that sense of accomplishment, that's the type of happiness that we want to encourage, not the be happy? Okay, so take a drink, take a l'chaim, take some ragalach, take whatever, and then you'll be happy. That's not the type of happiness that we're encouraging. Nothing against the ragalach that is present at this table. Okay, now, source number six, just continuing on the same idea. So Rav Yedaya HaPanini says as follows. Why is it called Kalus Rosh? Karu Kalus Rosh im yachsar mocho. Asher sham moshav sichlo mitoch rodfo achareyem v'yichsar sichlo behechar. So why is it called lightheadedness? Because sichlo, it's not lightheadedness, it's light intelligence, if you will. That our intelligence, he says, is placed in our rosh, it's in our head, it's in our brain. And because of that, we're decreasing, we're sort of turning off our ability to make intelligent decisions. So it's kalos rosh means that we're actually getting, if you want to put it in sort of coarse terms, we're getting stupider, right? And so our seichel is being diminished. It's kalus rosh. And through that lack of thinking, that lack of intelligence, it's going to lead us to do things that are sinful, that if we had our appropriate level of full-headedness, then we wouldn't accomplish that sin. Skip number 7 for now and go to 8. Source number 8 is the Yavetz. So the Yavetz says, quotes are Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Sklofa, Kalas Rosh, second line, in Yano Etzli. So he says, I think the following is the interpretation. Ki rov ha'anashim b'tiv'am yirei'im mehachata'im. So he makes a blanket, broad statement of human nature. He thinks that most people are inherently afraid of sinning. Most people are, let's say, I'm not reckless. I know what the right thing to do is, and I want to do the right thing. I don't want to sin. He says that's what most people are like. But, so then how do we end up sinning if that's what most people are like? V'nishmarim kishamar min hasakonos. And they're very afraid. They don't want to go into dangerous situations. They avoid risky behavior. So how does the Yetzer Hara get us? V'hayetzer Hara margil ha'adam ba'averos. So it starts slowly. Habituates us. You're doing a little bit here, a little bit there. Umavticho min hasakana. And you see, okay, it's not really that dangerous. It's not so bad. Dimyon hanichnas b'mayim karim. What's a metaphor? That I'm going into cold water. In the beginning, shibit hatchalaso, once I go in, so all of a sudden my hairs are going to stick up. I'm going to be so frigid. It's going to be so cold, right? But I get used to it. Because you're galo yachosh, I get used to it. Amru, next line, zichron of racham, kol over avera v'shana bo nasa sokater. I do one avera, and I do it again. Now all of a sudden, it's like it's mutter. It's like it's permitted. Not that it's actually permitted, but in my mind, it's permitted. So again, the same point that he's hitting home here is that the way that the Yetzer Hara gets us is through slowly chipping away at our carefulness. We're naturally careful. We don't want to sin. But slowly, do a little bit here, not so bad. Do a little bit there, not too bad. It's really not, I don't see anything inherently problematic. V'chein ha'asa, I think we mentioned this list last week, ha'mefata rishon l'chava, so the snake said to Chava, and dachva v'naga ba'etz, she pushed him, he pushed her against the tree, and said, look, nothing happened, you're okay. A little bit, it's margilin l'erva. Nimsa, so what's the flip of this? I think Rabbi Shiloni mentioned this last week. He quotes Rabbeinu Yoni here, the last line. Nimsa kovid rosh v'yira siagla avera. So we want to formulate, it's just an interesting side point to how the Mishnah goes. The Mishnah has, if you remember, how many things? I counted it for you. 5. There are 5 things. The first is formulated as schok v'kalus rosh margil in l'erva, in the negative, if you will. Something to be careful about. The other 4 are proactive, right? Mesoras is siagla Torah, Maisros is siagla Osher, Nedarim is siagla Prishos, siagla Chachmashtika are all proactive. Do this to protect yourself. The first one is, this is really bad, be careful about it. So why that flip? So the Yavetz here at the end is saying that if you formulated it in the, you could formulate it in the proactive sense as well. Not just what to look out for, but so therefore what should I be doing? Not that I should avoid schok v'kalas rosh, yes that's true, but what's the proactive stance? It's kovid rosh, v'yira, it's being settled, it's being mindful, it's being serious, and having this fear, this awe of God is a siagla avera, that prevents sin. So the point here is that we want to keep our minds, we want to keep our seichel, we want to keep our attentional control, our executive functioning, we want to keep that part of our brain that controls what we do strong. And once we slowly start to do other things, that part of our brain that's in control loses control. Slowly, 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 we go from COVID Rosh to Kalus Rosh. Look at source number 9. It's another interesting formulation here from the Eitz HaChaim, Rav Yaakov of Chagiz, lived in the 17th century. So if you look at the source, it's a little confusing. So that top right-hand column of the source, where it's sort of isolated, that's just quoting the next Mishnah. So try to, in your mind, cut out that right-hand, top right-hand side and shift to the left-hand side where it says Yud Gimel. Everybody see that? So it says Yud Gimel, and we're going to read that column there. So efshar lefarish. Hada amar Rabbi Yishmael. So remember that Rabbi Yishmael said previously, have a kal l'rosh. And we mentioned this last week, is that last Mishnah says that you should be kal l'rosh. You should be quick to the rosh, whatever that exactly meant, but sounds to be saying be light-headed to some extent. And now Rabbi Akiva comes and says, skok v'kalos rosh are bad for you. So Rabbi Shmuel says kal l'rosh is good, whatever he meant by that. And Rabbi Akiva says kalos rosh is bad. So what is it? Should I be kal l'rosh or should I avoid kalos rosh? They seem to be saying opposite things, right? So look at, if you didn't follow that, look how he develops it here. Efshar lefarish hadam Rabbi Shmuel el habe kal l'rosh. Rabbi Shmuel before said, be easy with your head, right? Sheyesh l'adam. What does that mean? Lehisnaheg lefamim b'ma'at kalos rosh. So he understands that Rabbi Shmuel is telling us that we should every once in a while be lightheaded, have a good time. You don't always have to be so serious. Right? Don't take life so seriously. That's Rabbi Shmuel's point from last mission. That's how he understands it. Continuing. Uvamile debichusa, right? So to joke around a little bit. Anybody got that word? I think it's ulihiyos daito meureves im habrios. So you know this, that in old, right, the 17th century is writing, they had to cut out words and letters as much as possible. So they didn't write full letters. So instead of writing, you don't think it saves that much space. So in that one line that we just read, the first word is dibdichusa. So instead of writing the aleph, he wrote a little, what are those things called? Apostrophe or whatever, to save himself an aleph. And then ulihiyos, instead of writing the suf, he wrote the apostrophe to take out the suf. And he's expecting us to figure all this out. Ulios daito mi'ureves. So again, mi'ureves, he takes out the suf and puts the little apostrophe. So sometimes it's good, big picture here, sometimes it's good to joke around and to be mureves in abrios, to be able to talk to people. Sometimes you want to talk to people, you gotta be light. You can't be so serious. People don't like talking to people who are so serious all the time. You have to know how to say a joke. Bank dolim mimenu, so even if you're with people who are greater than you, bank tanim, whether they're greater, lesser than you, etc., you gotta know how to joke around. Ukishimigaber alav hamara hashchora. And when you get depressed, Yehei noach lahasiro mimeno, being able to joke around is good. So when you're depressed, you're taking everything so serious, everything is so gloomy, and everything is so bad. So to have the protective factor, to have a little bit of humor, to not take things so seriously, is good. That's Rabbi Shmuel. But now we have Rabbi Akiva, and says kalos rosh is bad. Rabbi Shmuel tells kal rosh is good. Rabbi Akiva says kal rosh is bad. Rabbi Akiva continuing, his here al zeh va'amar she'ein lehisnai klal b'schok v'kal rosh ki margilin le'erva. You think it's good to joke around? You think it's good to laugh and have a good time? Very, very bad. Yes, maybe you're right. Maybe it'll help lighten the mood a little bit. Maybe you'll help feel a little bit better. Okay, but the downside is that it's going to be margilin le'erva. It's going to end up turning down the bad path. So basically what we have here is a fundamental dispute, according to Rabbi Chagiz here, how he's understanding how Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva view the content of laughter, of schok, of lightheadedness. Is there ever a place for it? According to Rabbi Shmuel, it shouldn't be, going back to the Rambam, shouldn't necessarily be your main personality trait, but it's good to have it in your back pocket to bring it out when it's appropriate, to lighten the mood, to not take things too seriously. If you're depressed, go make a joke and you may feel a little, not that it's that easy to get out of depression, but to some extent, take things a little bit lighter. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you can't use that. You can't take things lightly. You can't have schok v'kalos rosh at all because of the downside of that it's not automatically erva, but it's going to lead you to erva. To tone it down a little bit, at the end he says, she'im l'fisha, let's say, even Rabbi Akiva, you need it desperately at this moment, mu'a itzarach lemizar shel yimshach achareyam. You got to be very careful. So meaning even Rabbi Akiva might allow you to have a good time, to laugh, to lighten it up a little bit, but all the more so then, you have to be on guard. You have to be so careful because this trait, this quality of taking things lightly is very dangerous because it's a very slippery slope, and before you know it, you could be doing things that you wouldn't have been doing otherwise in terms of sins and dangerous events. So you have here a little bit of a dispute as to what the place of schok v'kal asurus, this lightheadedness, this laughter, taking things easily, is there a place for that within our avodas Hashem? And if there is, how careful we have to be. I'll pause for questions for a second. Yeah. Okay, so that's the same Rabbi Akiva. Yes, it's a good question. So there are statements of Rabbi Akiva who we have that he was the guy who was laughing all the time. He made his colleagues feel better because of his schok. So I would argue to you, and I think I gave a shiur about this probably 6 or 7 years ago here at Laser. It's actually probably on Waitar, but on the concept of laughter. And we did talk about Rabbi Akiva, and al regel achas, the answer could be is that laugh, there's laughter and there's laughter. Meaning you could, what was Rabbi Akiva's laughter? Rabbi Akiva's laughter was that we're going to have, Mashiach's going to come. Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. He has nothing wrong with laughing about that. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about when you're hanging out with your friends and you're saying some jokes and you're being silly, that's a problem. So serious laughter about redemption, that's more of, going back to the paradigm we had before when we split between the two types of schok. That type of schok, Rabbi Akiva would say, of course, is okay. But once it becomes that lightheaded schok is where you get to the problem. Yeah. Bein Adam L'Makom, you can't have Kalos Rosh, but Bein Adam L'Chaver, you could. I would be wary of making that distinction because it's the Margilon L'Erva is Bein Adam L'Chaver, right? Meaning it's within the content of Bein Adam L'Chaver, that social relationships, that you could, that you're going to run into the problem of laughter. You don't take seriously the laws that. Okay, I hear you. You got to dance around a little bit. Okay, two more and then we're going to move on. Yeah.
You come to shul.
Nice and loud.
Then you need COVID wash.
Okay.
Okay, because there is no room, anything for coming to wash. Any friends talking and things like that.
Okay, so maybe this the context, the situation. Right, so that's an interesting point. Does it depend on the place? So far, nobody's mentioned anything about the place, right? Nobody's made that distinction. It depends on where you are. I would say that to a certain, actually, this gets back to what Barry mentioned to me before. There is a Gemara in Brachos that talks about the context of laughing too much and having too much of a good time. So the Gemara talks about it in detail, and there are a few, interesting, funny stories, if you will. I guess not that funny, but where they're at a wedding and the rabbis are having too good of a time. So one of the head rabbis comes in and breaks a glass, and that's where some of the custom of us breaking a glass comes from. Some say the rabbi breaks the glass and says, "You're laughing too much. Stop laughing." And he started singing a song. You remember what his song was? He says, "Woe to us, for we shall die. Woe to us, for we shall die." That was his song at the wedding. To basically say, stop laughing so much. But in that Gemara also, so I forgot the players, it's Rava, Abaye, somebody along the lines was laughing too much, and his colleague told him that you're laughing too much. And he said, don't worry, I'm wearing my tefillin. And when I'm wearing my tefillin, it's not going to get out of hand. So I would argue, actually, that maybe the opposite is true. Right? You're trying to say, in shul you need total COVID Rosh, no laughing, no jesting, no horsing around at all. I'm not saying that's not true, but hold on. It could be in shul, not during davening and not when you're not allowed to talk, but it could be in shul that you have a little bit more of a leeway because we're in shul. So it's like I'm wearing tefillin. But when you're home in your house and it's and you're hanging out with your friends and you're playing poker, that's when the problem can really go out of control. That's a, you know, go put on your tefillin and then play poker. No, I'm just kidding. Right. So it's a laughter out of optimism. So meaning the physiological response of laughter can come from numerous different places, and Rabbi Akiva's laughter there is not a laughter out of lightheadedness. It's not a laughter of lightheadedness. Quickly, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, we don't know exactly what Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva, how they interpreted the words, you know, scolding and how it was. So maybe their interpretation of those feelings or those meanings or those actions is what makes what they say.
Yeah, it could be how they understood each one. Yeah, and it could be, just to put it into context, and then we're going to move forward. To put it into context, remember, this is all assuming Rabbi Chagiz's interpretation here, that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are arguing about the concept of Kalas Rosh. You could understand Rabbi Shmuel's Kalas Rosh as being totally different, have nothing to do with lightheadedness. Remember, we saw some interpretation that Kalas Rosh just means be quick to do mitzvos, right? Be zrizus, alacrity. Then that has nothing to do with being lightheaded. So this is assuming that you're pinning them against each other, and they might not be pinning against each other. To understand Rabbi Akiva in totality, you would have to put all the statements that have to do with laughter with Rabbi Akiva together and then analyze it. But I think, again, on Al Regel Achas, the quick answer is that it depends on the content of the laughter. Flip your page.
What about the Gemara that says that certain rabbis begin to shear
with Mila Dib Dechusa? So that, he mentioned that. So that joke depends what it means by joke. You can look at the whole portion. Did he mean a joke? Did he mean a riddle? Did he mean something that was, you know, sort of like a brain teaser? So it could be debatable. And what Rabbi Kiva might say is that maybe Rabbi Kiva would say that's not an appropriate way to begin a shir, and a shir should begin with something more serious, or at least maybe a medrash or something, a story, but not a joke. Rachel, and then...
Okay, I just wanted to share something with Rabbi Abraham Tversky.
Yeah.
I heard Rabbi Abraham Tversky say, and it's very interesting, in Hebrew, there is no word for fun. Think about it. Laughter, he said, there is no word for fun, because that is, and this is in his words, I remember it stuck with me for years, because we as Jews don't see that as a life goal. Our goal in Judaism is asay ritzono ritzoncha. That the idea is to do God's will. I found that very interesting. The word fun, there is no Hebrew exact
right. No. Yeah, that's a good point. If you read his commentary on this Mishnah, he basically gives a sort of scathing critique of modern culture, where we, so almost like what the Beis Lavos was saying. You know, we want fun. We want to be entertained. We want a comedian. We want a joke. And he said that the whole reason that we're doing that is because we're lacking that substance. When we lack substance, we want to escape and laugh and have a good time. Okay, we're gonna move. We're moving on, guys. Flip the page to source 11. This is the Mesilas Yesharim. This will be one more. One more source on laughter, and then we're going to move to vows. So look at source number 11. So the Mesilas Yesharim is Ramchal or Moshe Chaim Lutzato, his very famous Musar work, and he deals here at length with what he calls Mafside Hazihirus, things that lead us away from being careful. So meaning our goal is to be careful with sin, not to sin, and these are things that take us away from being careful. So what are the things that take us away from being careful? So hine, second line in source number 11, mafside amida zos umarchikahim shloshe. He says there are three things that take us away from being careful from sinning and doing the right thing. Number one, ha'echad hu atipo v'atir da'olamis. So number one is we're busy. We're dealing with life. And when we're dealing with life, sometimes we forget about life, right? And we forget about what's important. So that's number one. We're not going to deal with that today, but it's just something to think about. Hasheni, this is what we will be talking about, is haschok v'halatzon, laughter and jesting. Shlishi, the third, is achevra ra, bad environment, bad social scene. again, also good and important to talk about, but not for today. So skipping to the next line where he says, Ach Hasheni. So he's talking about second one. The second one is Chok V'Kalus Rosh. So lightheadedness and laughing, jesting, related to our Mishnah. So he says, Ach Hasheni. Hinei hu kashem me'od. This laughter, this jesting, is very, very, very hard. Meaning that it is very bad for Zahiras, for this goal of being careful. Somebody who is steeped in this, or drowning in schok v'latzon, who kimisha toveya biyama gadol shekashem odli malik mimenu. They're drowning in a big ocean and you can't get out of it. Schok. So he's going to explain to us why this is bad. The schok, this laughter, who ma'aved esleva adam. You lose your ability to think. You lose your mind, if you will. Shekvar einatam v'hadeya moshelas bo. And this is, we've seen this in the previous Mefarshim to some extent, is that I can't think straight. I can't logic, knowledge, prior experiences, my goals, my values are irrelevant once I start joking around. Barehu keshikor oshota asher iavshar laseis lahem arama o lahanhigam. It's like you're drunk. It's like you're again low IQ to the extent that you can't even logic, you can't train them, they can't be convinced to do anything. Ki eina mikablam hanaga. When, and this is really the important underlined point, if you will, you don't accept guidance. You don't care what other people tell you when you are in this joking mindset. So schok is bad for me. The Chachamim Zichron Levracha Amru, and our sages said, this is our Mishnah, Avos Paragimel, Schok Kalas Rosh, Margilin Asa Adam La Erva. Ki afa pishamura hiya erva etzel kol ben das. Everybody knows erva, sexual immorality, is bad. The libo yare mikarva lao. And we would never do that. Mikoa chatsir shikvar nitzdair besichlo mamitas godel pisha verov onsha. Because we know how terrible and terrible and terrible it is. Right? Unfortunately, even though we know how terrible it is, it happens. Hinei has, so how does it happen? Hinei has schok v'kalus rosh mamshichim oso ma'at ma'at. Umakrivim oso haloch v'karev shetiei ayira sarmi alav ma'at ma'at madrega achar madrega. This laughter, the lightheadedness, slowly, slowly, slowly brings you closer and closer and closer. And the fear and the trepidation slowly goes down a rung, down a rung, down a rung. Ad shiagia esa avon asmo v'yaseu, until you end up actually getting to the sin and doing the sin. V'kol kach lama, how did this happen? Being careful relies on paying attention. Mindfulness. The whole purpose of laughter is to take your mind off of thinking. And these thoughts of fear and awe and trepidation and knowing how the weightiness of this is irrelevant. Next paragraph. Vitira koshi alatzon vashchaso harban. I know I'm spending a lot of time on this because I think this is very important. Even if it doesn't get us to the point of erva, there's no question that I think it's important to stop back, to take a step back and analyze the role that this schok and kalas rosh plays in our lives. So v'tira koshi alatzon v'ashchasaso harbe ki kimoha magen hamashuach b'shemen asher yashmit v'yapil me'olav achitzim u'mashlichim la'aretz. So he gives us a metaphor. It's like you have a shield, but the shield has oil on it. So when the shield, when the arrows come and hit the shield, what's going to happen? They're just going to slide down. V'lo yaniach osam shiagiu el gufa adam, and that protects the person from the arrows. Again, that would be a good thing in terms of bodily protection. But when it comes to schok and latzon, it's bad. Kein ha latzon mipnei ha tochacha v'hamardus ki belitzonos echad v'schok katan yapil ha adam me'elav ribui gadol min his orus vihispalus masha halev misorer umispal biatsmo mide raoso oshomo in yonim shariu ala cheshbon vapishpush b'masim. So we think, we know, we're in control, we have everything, we're protected. What's going to happen? The schok comes, I laugh, and now all of that defenses go away. Somebody makes, and we've all experienced this, you're in a room, somebody makes a joke out of something serious, and then all of a sudden that serious point is down the drain. Once somebody makes a little bit of a joke about it, everybody laughs, nobody pays attention to the message anymore. Because the laughter, the ability to make something important, not important, that's what schok does. Something I should be mindful of, I should be careful of, I should be thinking about. One joke, everything goes down the drain. Keep going a little bit more. Velo, Bishop Meisim, Bekoach Leitzonus, Yapila Kol Aretz, Velo Yaseh Boroshim Klal. No matter how serious and important it is, one joke, nothing makes an impression anymore. V'lo mipnei cholsha sa'inyonim. It's not because the content isn't important. V'lo mipnei cheser na'avon ha'salev, and not because there's no understanding. Elo mipnei koach ha'latzon ha'hores kol inyonei ha'musr v'ayira. That's the power of latzon. That's the power of being, of making fun, of making light of things that are important, is that it doesn't make an impression on us anymore. It really just doesn't sink in because of that. Laughter and lightheadedness. So the Maseilas Yesharim, you can read more on your own. Maseilas Yesharim develops the idea, brings everything home for us, really repeating what we've been talking about, and I think giving us a good imagery for it, is that once somebody starts making jokes about something, then all of my defenses go down, everything I thought was important is no longer important, and I'm going to end up doing things that I wouldn't do if I wasn't in this different, it's almost like shifting your mindset. If you picture your brain, when your brain is in control, when your brain is thinking, when your brain is mindful, so you could picture the front of your brain where your executive functioning is really taking control. You really know what you're doing, and you're trying to be in control of everything you're doing. All of a sudden, that's, what does it mean to be lightheaded, right? What's happening in your brain? It's like you can almost like visualize the energy from the front of your brain and that control, like filtering, spreading out through different parts of your brain where you're no longer in control. You can't think straight. You can't think straight because everything's rushing to the rest of your brain. So that part of your brain that has the ability to think and to be in control basically dissipates. It all goes throughout. I would rather hold the question, but if you're desperate, I'll let it go. No pressure.
The question is, only when you are learning, or in general, shouldn't jokes, because people, if you live like that all the time, you become very, very sad and very serious. And nobody likes people like that. Maybe the Hasidim went against it.
Right, so this is the tension and the balance that, and I think that we presented a number of different sort of mindsets on this, and how you apply this to your own life, I think, will be up to you. But here are the broad guidelines. The broad guidelines are, being serious is good. You could counter in saying, be too serious is not so good, right? That's what we saw, being too serious is not so good. But if you're gonna go the path of not being serious, you have to be very, very careful. You have to know where you are. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know what lines are there and what borders. Because once we start getting not serious, important messages of what I should be doing in life, / sin is tempting and crouching at the door. So if you're going to go with the light route, to say something, and be a little bit more, to be me'urav and mabrios, like we saw, to be able to socialize and be able to connect with people. So you want to be a little bit lighter, you don't want to be so serious, great, but then you have to be very, very careful. That would be the message. Be very careful.
The speaker takes a joke here and there, and then it gets attention of the audience.
Right, so if done correctly and properly, it could work well. But when you're in speaker and you're in shul and you're doing it there, that's the proper setting. We're not afraid that something's gonna happen from that cute joke to open up the drasha. to, you know, okay, now everybody, let's start dancing, right? It's not going to happen, right? So the proper context is important. But yes, if that speaker wasn't a rabbi giving a drasha, and it was at a comedy club, and it wasn't kosher comedy, and you know all those, then it's very dangerous. That's the point. It's very dangerous. Okay, now let's move on to part three, vows. Okay, so source number 12, Rabbeinu Yonah. So remember, the Mishnah said that it's siag, Mesoras is siag l'Torah. We're not getting into. Again, the general understanding of that is that the Mesoras, which is the tradition that we have as to how to read words in the Torah, how the words are written, how the words are vocalized, and all of this. So there's a tradition that's been passed down from generation to generation. So that tradition protects the sanctity of how we understand and read and learn Torah. Great, not really that much to say about that. I'm sure there is, but we're not going to say that much about it. The next one is Masro Siagla Osher, that giving money helps protect wealth. Again, the basic understanding of that is by me giving tzedakah, that actually helps me obtain wealth. That's a popular theme within Judaism, that when I give, I get back. Again, I don't have that much more to say about that. So then the next one is Nidorim Siagla Precious. Taking vows is a fence to abstain, from things. So now this is a very interesting concept, because is taking vows a good thing or is taking vows a bad thing? You're going to find different, we obviously have psukim in the Torah that say that there are rules about vows, but you have different statements in Chazal, some encouraging taking vows and some saying don't take vows. So we have to sort of find this balance. When should I be taking a vow? When should I not be taking a vow? Nowadays, we don't take vows. And if that's true also, A, why not? But B, is there still a message that we can take home about why this is important? Is that Rabbi Akiva is teaching us something, that the concept of vows is supposed to help us obtain some level of precious, of some level of self-restraint. Right? So vows can be used for self-restraint. So what's the self-restraint message that we're going to take away from this? So let's look at source number 12, Rabbeinu Yonah. Right, so Nazir, Nazir is relevant to this as well. Look at Rabbeinu Yonah, source number 12. Nidarim is siag l'precious. So he says, ha'precious hu mida el yonis. So the concept of self-restraint is a very high character trait. It's something that we should aspire to. Ukama malos tovos yesh lahasig a love. So what does it mean, precious? Precious means to stay away from things that are pleasurable. Okay, so there's pleasures in this world. Precious, the self-restraint, is to stay away from things that bring us pleasure. Even things that aren't explicitly forbidden, still, whether it's talking about food, whether it's talking about sex, whether it's talking about any other sort of pull, like honor, authority, wealth, all of these things that drive human beings or could drive human beings. So with all of these things that drive us, precious, abstaining from them or finding a balance to not go too far is very, very important. Third line, umisrachik misharasha umiskar velikari anefesh viyasoda vukar velavodas Hashem haboris baruch ketzad haboris baruch. So all these precious ideas are going to help us get closer to God. Staying away even from things that are permitted, but since they drive human beings and they are also, again, running theme throughout this, is that these are things that if I start a little bit, what can end up happening? They go out of control. So yes, it's mutter now. I'm allowed to do this. But these things are so tempting and they suck you in so quickly that's why you need these fences. That's why you need these. Here, the concept is nadar. So now he's going to give us the example. Ketzad, we're in the middle of the third line. Ketzad b'machal. How does this apply to food? Again, food is always the easiest, sort of less controversial example to give, because everybody eats and it's not really taboo compared to some of the other taivas that we have. So Michael is always a good one to go to. So when it comes to food, Ketzad b'machal. Ha'ochel me'at lichdei chiyuso. Somebody who eats a little bit in order to live, survive, be healthy, shei bari, kedei lilmo Torah, so I can learn harbe, v'lasos melechas Hashem, melech merubah, I can do whatever my avodas Hashem is, I have enough energy to do it because of the food that I'm eating. Oh, hashoset daya sarasmao, I'm drinking enough in order to relieve my thirst, quench my thirst. Lo yishtaker, lo yisagel besocho olo, so I'm not gonna get drunk. When it comes to, again, sexual relations, I'm doing it for the mitzvah purposes. I raise a midarach aprishus. Shein daito lihanos me'olam. My goal is not to get pleasure in this world. And besides for that, it's going to, if I'm careful about these things, I'm going to avoid sinning. Ki lish shi yisgaber alav hayetzer. Once the yetzer hara takes control, then even though these things are permitted, all of a sudden they're going to take control even for things that are forbidden. So we say to ourselves, you know, I'm doing the things that are allowed, I'm not going to do things that are bad. But and then eventually again it's going to lead to sin. Ach, hamiskar bel teva achomer v'nimshach achar tavosav v'naosav gam ki lo yase iser. Somebody who, again, does things that are permitted, but it's driven by desire. So I can eat, let's just go with eating again. I can eat for the sake of nourishment. So what's my drive, what's my motivation to eat? Just nourishment. If survival, health. But if my motivation to eat, I'm eating the same thing. Right, but if my motivation to eat is for the pleasure, that's the danger. That's the danger. So somebody who eats for pleasure, gam ki lo yase iser, there was nothing forbidden, in a sense. Nimsa misrachik mi ikra nefesh v'yisoda. There's a spiritual problem here. Is that I am going away from the nefesh. The nefesh isn't motivated or shouldn't be motivated by taiva, by desire. The nefesh is motivated by survival, by health. So when I go and I do things that are permitted, but the reason I'm doing them is for benefit, pleasure, that's a problem. Gam ki yigrom al nefesh atimshach achar aguf achomer u'misaf osa b'maratza misharshel miyosoda. Again, it's taking me far away from my spiritual self. U'kamosh kasav, he quotes a pasuk in Hosea, quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. So now, if you skip a line, towards the end of the line, it says Al-Kain. It's after a period. So now this is the prelude. The prelude is, I should do things for purposes of health, fulfill mitzvos, not for pleasure. So now, practically, what does that mean? How should I go about and manage this situation? Because at the end of the day, that rugalach looks good. Right? So, can I really say I'm not eating it for pleasure? So what am I supposed to do? Al-Kain. Nasnu etza lemi she'eino yachol limshol berucho v'nimshach achar hahanos. This is the tip. This is the advice. The advice is, if we are somebody who, when we eat, we get pleasure, what should we be doing? I'm closing my eyes, I'm not looking at anybody. If for some reason this is us, and it's probably all of us, right? If that's how we operate, so what should I do? Lindor, well, maybe, but he says, Lindor neder liyamim, lomar, adzman ploni, lo ochel, lo eshte, kiim kizeh, ola asar etzmo bedavar amutar, vahergel yishot alav, shemitoch kihu mikayim nedro. So I take a neder, I take a vow, and the function of the vow would be to, I'm not going to eat this thing for the next week. I'm not going to, I'm only going to eat X amount, portion-wise, for the next 2 weeks, for the next month. And I make the neder, and I make the vow. Now, keep in mind, again, this is something we're not accustomed to, so we don't fully understand it. The vow, the assumption is that I'm scared of the vow, right? So meaning once I make the vow, I'll keep the vow. So the problem is, and this was a problem even back then, is that people made the vows didn't stop them from eating the rugalach, right? So if the vows didn't work, then you have a bigger problem here, because not only you eating the ragalach wasn't an avera, right? We're trying to teach self-control, so you're making that there. Now you eat the ragalach anyway, now you've done an actual avera. So that's the problem, that's the danger of doing nedarim. But in theory, the concept of neder is to present strategies to avoid eating things. I think I mentioned in the drasha yesterday, the concept of not putting sugar in your coffee. Right? So that's a simple, as everybody sips their coffee. We won't ask if there's sugar there. But that's a
self-control.
What?
Self-control.
Yeah. Right. So Jake, that's the point. The point here is that the message is self-control. How do you get to self-control? Rabbi Akiva's encouragement was use nedarim, because nedarim, the philosophy behind the neder, is that the neder solidifies my self-control. The neder provides the added motivation that I'm not going to violate it. If I just say to myself, I'm not going to eat it, it's not going to be enough. If I make a neder, that's going to be enough. Again, practically speaking, we don't make nedarim nowadays because we don't trust ourselves even with the neder. But the message is, to the extent that we can inculcate and try to increase our level of self-control, that's what Rabbi Akiva is telling us to do. Don't make a neder, but yes, make goals, make commitments. This week I'm not going to eat this. This week I'm not going to eat that. And we try as hard as we can to follow through on that commitment and to have the self-control. Because that self-control applies to even things that are permitted, not just for things that are forbidden. So then, and notice, who is this neder for? Who did he say who should be taking this neder? People who struggle with this, right? It's the people who eat for pleasure should be taking the neder not to eat. If you don't eat for pleasure, then you have no reason to take the neder. This is an added level of goal, a siyag. That's what we're talking about. Remember, it's a fence to try to make a barrier between us and that ragalach. Is say, if I eat that ragalach over the course of the week, let's put it in non-neder terms. Besides, for what are other ways, strategies that we can increase our ability to obtain self-control goals? Right. So we're not going to use nedarim. And just making a commitment is important, but might not be enough. So what other ways can we try to use to improve self-control? What other strategies? Okay, so good. You paid attention to the drasha. So don't buy the ragalach. Good. Don't have the ragalach around. Avoid the battle. Number two, you can penalize yourself. Right, they have these. There's a website called stick.com. It's put together by these behavioral economists, I believe, or some sort of behavioral psychologist out of Yale, STICKK, where you basically commit to punishing yourself if you don't follow through on your goal. So you would have to give money to charity, you would have to, you know, or do something that's so aversive to you that you really don't want to do, and they basically help you stick to these punishments that you would get if you don't follow through on your goal. So the point, again, I think the main point, not to get lost in the Durham per se, the main point is that when it comes to self-restraint, it's important to put siyagim, it's important to put fences, whether the fence is not buying the thing in the first place, whether the fence is social pressure. You can use social pressure for your benefit. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your spouses, tell everybody that I'm doing this. And then maybe, hopefully again, it's just an added way, if it's done healthily, it's an added way to provide a reminder that some people do these bets, these pools, that, you know, if we do whoever loses first, we'll have to pay everybody else or buy everybody. Whatever it is, find strategies that are done in a healthy way to increase self-restraint. I'm going to hold off on questions for a second. I want to do the last thing, so I want to finish this Mishnah. The next point is silence. Right? So the siyag l'chachma shtika. So what does that mean, siyag l'chachma shtika, that the fence for wisdom is silence? So how does silence protect wisdom? So you can understand it in one of two ways, right? So it could be that I am wise, right? I have that wisdom, but when I talk too much, right, people will not see that wisdom, right? So the meaning of the wisdom's there, and to protect that vision of wisdom, I should keep my mouth shut. But there's another way to understand the Mishnah. The other way to understand it is that through silence, I actually get wisdom. Right? So not that talking will ruin my vision of wisdom, but that through silence I will obtain wisdom. So is it Is silence helping me obtain wisdom, or is silence protecting me from losing wisdom, if you will? It's a nuanced way of looking at it. So let's look at the Mefarshim quickly and see what they say. Hold on one second. Let's just look at the Mefarshim and see what they say. Rabbeinu Yonah, source number 13. Siag l'chachma shtika, zes siag bein l'chachma atzma, bein l'miduseha. So this silence, keeping silent, is a fence for wisdom itself, as well as the things that help me learn wisdom. Ketzad, what does that mean? What's an example? She'eno nichnas l'soch divrei chavero. So my friend's talking, and I don't jump in, I don't interrupt. V'amashalo shama omer lo shamati. And if I didn't hear something, if I don't know something, then I say, I don't know. Right? Everybody has an opinion, they have to say their opinion, they don't know what they're talking about. So keep your mouth shut. Siag l'chach mashtika means that when I don't know something, I don't say anything, and I don't jump into your conversation in the middle of nothing. Va'afal pi, second line, she'eno michlal hashtika, hashtika mevia lidei kach l'chachma, silence brings you to wisdom. Ketzad she'eno midaber b'fnei mi shegadol mimenu, how can it bring me to wisdom? I don't speak in front of somebody who knows more than me, who is wiser than I am. Ki alomen b'fnei rabo v'roa svara achas ka'alacha, al yachshov miyad ki hi amitis, v'liratz la'omra b'terem shi'asayim rabo m'ledaber. So if you're learning, these are lessons for students. You're learning something, and all of a sudden you think you know better than your teacher. Not that it's impossible, right? But you interrupt the teacher, you stop in the middle. How can you say such a thing? What about this? What about that? What about the other thing? Let the person finish, think about it, and then if you have a question, you ask the question. But too often, again, we jump in the middle, and what happens when we jump in the middle? The im yaseh kach, Cain, yafsid mashiomer rabo, you're not going to hear what the person is saying. Velo yada svaros minachachamim akadmonim, you're not going to hear the arguments involved. Ki libo navinad melodia daitim, because I'm already thinking about what I'm going to respond, and what I'm going to answer back, and how I'm going to critique it. So I'm not going to pay attention, I'm not going to understand it fully. Vagam kisvarasa lo sucha lios mechuvenes kokach ad sheyishma masha amar rishonim. Your answer can't be correct unless you fully understand the background. V'yishko b'mozne sichlo, and you balance it and you think about what's going on. Ezo yichshar hazeh ozeh al kena shtika l'talmud ifnei arav agadu mena b'chach masiyad. Silence when you're learning is really important, because it allows you to sit, it allows you to process, it allows you to think and to balance and not interrupt. So let's say you think about something and the person's talking, but you have an idea. And you're quiet, you don't open your mouth. Don't open your mouth until you fully get it, until you fully understand it. Until he's finished and you fully understand it. Then you're going to fully get it. It's going to be clear and it'll be fully understood. So now, there are a bunch of teachers in this room, and each teacher has different styles. Some teachers will tell you, I want you to interrupt me. I want to have that give and take. I want the kids to be more involved. So it really depends. But the idea is still the same. The idea is that if you really want to understand something, you have to listen. And that applies to students, it applies to friends, it applies to enemies, it applies to everything. Right? If you want to fully understand somebody, you got to sit and process it. To the extent that you ask a question to clarify, and you do it properly, and you do it appropriately, okay, that's good. But if you're jumping in right away, and you're not thinking, and you're not processing, then you can't really learn, and you can't really become wise. In source number 14, Ratzisyahu HaYitzari says a similar thing, but frames it in terms of social relationships, that when it comes, not just, remember, Rabbeinu Yonah's focus was on student and teacher. In source number 14, we'll just read a little bit of it. It says, Amnam hachachma shebekan rotzelomar hamedinas. We're talking about social, in the social realm, wisdom in the social realm. Kisham chachma yomar alav, kishem chachma yomar alav, kimoshakasav a Rambam besof sifra ameula and more nebuchim, and it quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. That when it comes to, again, just apply basically, you can read it, he says slightly different things, but basically apply the same thing, not just with student and teacher, but in the social realm as well, that being silent helps protect your wisdom, helps build wisdom, because you can listen appropriately, and then And finally, source number 15, Rabbeinu Yonah, Sforno, finishing this up, says, "V'amar shashmira min ha'shichacha min ha'ta'us b'chol chachma t'yeh b'shtika mikol dibor mosar u'me'sicha b'teilus." So he says something also slightly differently. He says, if you want to be smart, don't talk. Why not? Because what happens when I talk? And we've all felt this. Right? Sometimes, you know, when you're talking so much, and you get to that point where you have no idea what you're talking about, right? You're just like, I'm just talking, and I'm like, you finally have self-awareness after like 5 minutes, like, I'm not even following what I'm saying, right? So what he's saying is that in order to protect yourself from those types of things, just talk less. The protection from forgetting and from making a mistake in terms of all chachma, in all realms of wisdom, is with silence. Mikol dibor mosar u'mesicha b'teila. So he says, you can't not talk at all. You have to talk, and it's good to talk. But it's sicha b'dibor mosar. It's too much talking. There's a fine line between talking and too much talking. And sicha b'teila is pointless talking, idle chatter. Hamesia min ha'hisbodenus b'chachma al demyonos kozvos. And when I talk too much, and when I talk about things that are nonsense and are irrelevant, then eventually that's going to remove the ability to think properly, to think things thoroughly, and I'm not going to be able to imagine things properly, and my imagination is going to go awry, and I'm going to be thinking things that are crazy. So basically, staying silent, not talking too much, will help you learn better, will help you in social relationships better, help you understand things better, and talking too much takes you away from that. You can't think, you can't process, you don't even know what you are talking about. Big picture.
Makes you look smart,
right? You open your mouth, right? So that's the simple way of understanding it, is that notice how that's not what they said, right? No, when we hear siag l'chach mashtika, the way we generally, I think the way you're saying is how we interpret it, is that when I talk, I'm going to say something stupid. That's not what they said. But it might be true. But what they're saying is that it's deeper than that, is that when I talk, I can't understand properly. I can't listen, I can't process things properly. In addition to that, yes, if I keep talking, I'll probably say something stupid. Keep it simple. Big picture, and then we'll take a question and bench. Big picture for all of Rabbi Akiva is that his main message is, when it comes to things that are either permitted or things that are on danger of slippery slopes, you need fences. You have to be very aware. You have to be very careful. You have to be very mindful. You have to plan ahead. You have to make sure that these things don't get out of control, even if there's a counterbalance. Yes, it's good to eat every once in a while. Maybe some pleasure is okay a little bit. Maybe being happy and lightheaded is good for a little bit. But you have to know your boundaries. You have to know your borders, because these are things that are inherently dangerous and can bring you down to the wrong side of the religious equation. So be careful with